Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. I got a lot to say here, kids. First, I got to tell you, it's your dad's razor, older than you are. Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for an extra close, precise shave. Get one now at a store near you or as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Kawhi Leonard will be the eighth All-Star to miss at least one game in these playoffs. This is LeBron James on Twitter. They didn't want to listen to me at the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefits our game. These injuries isn't just part of the game. It's a lack of pure rim rest before starting back up. Eight, possibly nine All-Stars has missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league and fans, but missing a ton of our fave players, it's insane. If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all of our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your fave guys right now. I'm the worst guy to ever be the grammar police. Okay, just for the record. You know, I'm being fair. I misspell things. I'm not that guy, but for 1 second, I'll be that guy because LeBron has, how many million followers does LeBron have?
Yeah. That would be 50 million followers.
Wow. 50 million. If you're going to have 50 million followers, like, just have somebody reread it real quick before you press send. I mean, it's not great. Well, we know what he's talking about, right?
Okay. But it's also so you know it's really him saying it, right? That's the old Trump thing. Like, hey, this was really Trump because of all the errors.
Okay. I just, you know, I don't know.
I tend to agree with you. It is kind of
annoying. If you're going to have that long a post, just get the grammar right, you know? Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I'll get to the vaccine and the protocols and Chris Paul upcoming. He's out for a period of time here. Kawhi Leonard's out for the year. That's the bigger story, even bigger than KD. Here's the problem with it. Here's the problem with it. There are plenty of control groups, and the control groups will tell us that injuries happen every year. Like, if you want to go like, look at all these injuries, like, okay, the last time we had a champion before COVID, it was the Toronto Raptors taking down the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors lost KD, Kevon Looney, and Klay Thompson. I think there's somebody else who got hurt as well. Do we chalk that one up to what? And I've seen people go like, well, it's because of all of the games that they played in those two previous years. Like, okay. All right. I'm willing at least to listen to that. But look at the NBA playoffs in general. We have injuries all year. Like, this is part of the sport. And it's part of the reason that some of these players have tried to protect themselves with load management. Like, you can say Anthony Davis got hurt, but Anthony Davis missed half the season. He missed half the season. So I'm not really sure how you can totally say that the lack of offseason, which it was hard for the Lakers. I guarantee it was hard. And remember, though, like as much as, and I told this to some of my friends who were in the bubble. They were like, man, the bubble sucked. It was like 2-3 months, depending on how long, well, you did, of being away from your family. Like, yeah, but you had 3 months before that where you were around your family more than you ever possibly could have been. So I don't, sorry, LeBron, like, is a quick turnaround when Kawhi Leonard's missed so much time the past couple of years and they got bounced in the playoffs early last year in the bubble. Is that why Joe Ingles fell on Kawhi's knee to tear his ACL? Like, no. If you want to say James Harden's hamstring is because of COVID, like, or maybe he didn't stay in proper shape. Or maybe he just pulled a hamstring. Kyrie Irving sprained an ankle. He missed half the season. He didn't play last year because he had surgery and he never even went to the bubble. Okay, so Kyrie, that's a bullcrap excuse, right? Just is. Are we going to get to the, you want to get to the 8 All-Stars? Kawhi Leonard, somebody fell into his knee. If you want to say James Harden is possible, okay, I'll give you James Harden as a 1 possible. Who are the other All-Stars that you want the 8 or 9 All-Stars? Anthony Davis. I guess, but he missed half the regular season. So in terms of time off, didn't he have enough? I'm calling BS on Anthony Davis. Joel Embiid is always hurt. And how deep did they go last year in the playoffs? And he doesn't play the whole season. Calling bull on Joel Embiid, who's missed some games because of a knee, because Joel Embiid's missed games his entire career. I'm calling bull on that one. That's 4. Who are the other All-Stars I'm not thinking of? Okay, you don't have Milwaukee. They have no All-Stars missing. Atlanta has no All-Stars missing. I mentioned the 76ers.
Jamal Murray? Does that count?
Jamal Murray tore his ACL. He landed wrong, tore his ACL. Mike Conley's a hamstring. Conley last year was with the Jazz. Jaylen Brown got hurt. I don't know, man. I mean, guys get hurt. It's sports. So what was the alternative, LeBron? The league would have played less games. You would have had to take less money. Like, no, we're not doing that. Like, okay, then this is what happens. This is what happens. But, I mean, using Kawhi Leonard, somebody fell into his knee, or using Donovan Mitchell, who sprained an ankle. Using Kyrie Irving, sprained an ankle. What are we doing? Like, spraining an ankle has nothing to do with the number of games that you've played. Zero. Zero. Yes, Gavin.
It also seems like it's been magnified because of the all-star players. It's not that it's a record amount of injuries. It's that they were all-stars. And that's just random. That's just people that are playing more minutes, I guess. But it does seem like that magnified it a little bit.
I think it's just social media is just magnified. I think everything becomes, I think, here's what I honestly believe is, LeBron's a pretty smart guy, but he's not nearly as smart as he thinks he is. He's got people around him that tell him how smart he is, and he doesn't realize historically this happens all the time. Right? Happens all the time. But, you know, plus, like, look at the guys who have gotten hurt. For the most part, you know, Mike Conley, he's older. James Harden, he's older. You get to your 30s, you start pulling a hamstring. That's what happens. Yes, Dan.
I was just going to say, too, like the Kyrie Irving injury. I mean, how many times do guys step on someone's foot and twist their ankle? Right. All the time.
So, I mean, if he thinks that's happened because of this, I don't get it. I don't understand. That's the easy lazy man's excuse. Lazy man's excuse. Told y'all. Too many games. Anthony Davis missed half the season. Kyrie missed half the season. James Harden missed half the season. You know? I mean, he sat out. I mean, how much time James Harden sat out with a hamstring? Harden, you could just, if you wanted to be a jerk, you can go like, well, hey, it's karma for the Houston thing. Like, neither of these are true. He didn't get hurt because of karma. He didn't get hurt because of COVID. He got hurt because he's in his 30s and he pulled his hamstring. That happens. Whether it's the way in which he stretched or didn't stretch, or his lack of flexibility, or, you know, the fact that he has a hamstring that's bigger than a butt, or his back's tight, whatever, all those things, all those cause you to pull a hamstring.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing great, man. Did you guys see this story here? That Chris Paul is out indefinitely, health and safety protocols, meaning he tested positive for COVID. So let me just kind of make a statement of facts of where I stand on everything. Right? I believe that if you say you shouldn't get vaccinated just because you don't think you should get, not because a doctor told you, but because you know, you're like some sort of conspiracy theorist, whatever. I have a lot of trouble taking you seriously. Anything else you say seriously. Like, oh, you're a sheep. Like, no, like I got vaccinated for polio when I was a baby, right? Measles, mumps, rubellum. You know, if this will help if the vaccine was so bad, why is the rest of the world willing to do whatever it takes to get our vaccine? Come on. Right? Come on. But we also have to understand, on the other side to it is, once you're vaccinated, within reason, you should be able to get back to some form of regular life. Why not? Additionally, we have to figure out how to deal with people who are vaccinated and get and contract COVID, because the vaccine does not completely protect you from getting COVID. What it does is it protects you. It also helps so you don't spread it as easily. And if you do get it, the symptoms aren't nearly as severe if you have any at all. So what are we doing here with Chris Paul? Like, he's going to be put into health and safety protocols on a policy which is clearly dated, right? And, oh, yeah, by the way, look, if you've been vaccinated, like, nothing really else I can do to help you. The only thing I would tell you is, and the Suns are an organization that I believe has hit the highest percentage of vaccinations of anyone in the playoffs. I don't know. Why don't you just say, hey, if you're fully vaccinated, then you don't have to do the health and safety protocols. What do you guys think? So while I am pro-vaccination because I'm pro-science and science tells me to get a vaccine, I'm also got to be pro-science and tell you that once you're vaccinated, you're far less likely to get it. And if you do get it, you're far less likely to be affected by it and you're far less likely to spread it. Like, we got to adjust to a vaccinated society if in fact we are vaccinated, which is what Chris Paul is. Am I making sense? Gavin, where are you on this?
Yeah, I think it should matter whether or not someone is vaccinated, and it sounds like Chris Paul is. So I would assume that this won't linger much longer with him. Otherwise, I think I don't think it's really fair. But yeah, I mean, I'm, as you know, I'm vaccinated. I don't ever want to tell people what they should do, but I think as a country, we're getting there where we're mostly vaccinated and, you know, hopefully these.
I'm going to disagree on that because here's the point. First of all, I will tell you should get vaccinated. And I will tell you because the leading scientists and doctors, by and large, all agree, right? They do it for a living. I don't. I'm not an immunologist. Neither are you. But I'll also tell you, it's like, well, why would you tell me that? Because blah, 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 blah. Like, well, because the guy who's not vaccinated and doesn't believe in it, he can tell the world they shouldn't be, but I can't? That's stupid. That's dumb. It's dumb, dumb talk. I always find it fascinating, the people who are way to the right, you know, they're like, on one hand, they want to celebrate the fact that the previous administration found a way to get this thing done, which they did. Okay, they pumped a bunch of money into the pharmaceuticals who are already kind of working on these things, and they sped up a process that usually takes a year and a half, and it took half that amount of time. It's great. Right? Now, but they also killed their own success story by questioning whether or not the disease was real for a good or would affect people for an inordinate amount of time, and then didn't have, you know, then there were problems with distribution. But you can't celebrate the fact that a vaccine was created and then say, well, yeah, but I don't believe in the vaccine. Like, which is it? We have created such mistrust for the government that even things that aren't the government, like these are private pharmaceutical companies. These are private scientists, doctors that spend their entire lives studying these things. Right? Studying these things. It's not a government scientist. It's not somebody who works for President Biden going like, gosh, no, that's not. The people creating these vaccines are doctors and scientists. And yes, they're a pharmaceutical company. And do I get that pharmaceutical companies have done some things which aren't particularly good? Yes. Hey, but again, all of these things generally were created with good in mind. With good in mind. Yes, John Ramos.
I always go back to the point you made a while ago, which was, and I do remember when the coronavirus first started, I remember tons of people on TV going like, oh, I just hope they can get a vaccine for this thing. And then another thing when you said, which was, well, what do you think the end game was? Like, it was just going to like disappear after like, hey, it's gone. What's the end for you? You know, like it was a vaccine and I remember people saying that all day left and right. Oh, well, when they get a vaccine, we'll be good. Then a vaccine comes out like, ah, it's kind of quick. Like, yeah, I know. By the way, a phone is a computer in your hand. You know, it's 2021, folks. You know what I mean? Things happen quicker than they did in 1918 or 1975 or even 1995. I don't understand why people can't think things can't be done in a year. I think that's actually kind of a long time. I mean, a year and a half to find something. It wasn't like they brought the vaccine out in like 3 weeks. You know, hey,
well,
3 weeks
what
from
happened,
now, you got a
what
vaccine.
What happens is there was a... They were for initially it was for emergency use only because they still had studies going while the vaccine was released. But some of that is the semantics that we're not familiar. I'll give you here's the thing. Okay. In science, when something is 97% certain, it is a scientific fact. Right? 97% certain. It is a scientific fact. You're like, well, that's not a fact. A fact is 100%. Like, that's not how science works. It's just not. Science always leaves the probability or possibility or even probability of something being different or slightly different or not working. The problem is that we in society, we're not scientists. So we don't actually know, right? We don't actually know their way of looking at it is not our way of looking at it. Like when we look at basketball shots, either it goes in or it doesn't go in. A ball goes in the basket and it doesn't give you points 97% of the time. It gives you points 100% of the time, but that's not how science works. Science understands that there is some gray to the black and white. I don't know if I'm explaining this. I need somebody who's smarter than me.
You are. No, it makes point. Yeah.
It's like they don't care about your emotions. You know, science doesn't. It's like nature. Like
yes, but a scientific fact is not 100% fact. That's not. So you have to start with that, right? Like you have to start with the understanding of that is a scientific fact is not 100% fact. I don't know. Buyer, can I? Is there a better way to say it?
You know, it's funny because it's the nuance of the issue is lost on me because to me it's just so and not to your topic of talking, but just about getting vaccinated or not vaccinated. Like I don't understand any of the nuance of it, so it's even difficult for me. But I could kind of follow to what you're saying.
I believe there's no nuance. Just get vaccinated. Unless your doctor says, hey, dude, you can't, and here's why. Or you have to get a specific one, and here's why. Otherwise, go get vaccinated. I don't even know what you're waiting for. Just go do it. It's not hard. It's not that big a deal. There's no. It's actually not a political issue. We make non-political issues into a political issue. This is not right or left. This is about the entirety of society. You know, politicians have made it a political issue on both sides. I'm not blaming one. They've made it a political issue. I'm with you. I'm more talking about we don't understand, like, well, the vaccine, only 90% of the time does it work. Like, sure. You don't even understand how those numbers work. Like, you can't, no vaccine works 100% of the time. None. There isn't one that's ever existed, right? But you can still contract or carry, you're less likely to spread. Like, all of they work on different levels and different percentages. They work. So when you have to factor in all of the different percent, like, there's like 1% of society is going to get this and get seriously sick and potentially die. Okay. And the rest of society, there's people that have had it, there's people that carry it, there's people that have gotten some level of sick. All right, we're going to make it 90% that you're not going to get it. The 10% that get it, then you're 90% less likely to suffer severe symptoms. And what we're doing is cutting down on all of those percentages to make it so infinitesimal. And then, oh yeah, by the way, if everybody gets vaccinated, it's much less likely to morph into something worse that we're not protecting against.
Airline travel is the one that you saying all that stuff pops into my head of airline travel and how safe it is. But everybody's like, oh my, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people are like, there's no way I fear this, blah, blah, blah. But it's 99%. You know,
yes. I saw this, the airline travel is the perfect. That's honestly great job. Great job. You know what? Take the rest of the day off. You know what? How about this? Work the rest of the day. You take Father's Day off. I'm going to give you Father's Day off.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Hold on. Let me text Scott. Scott Shapiro. There we go. Dan Beyer has got Father's Day off.
Broderick appreciates that. Yeah.
Due to an awesome take on Fox Sports Radio. Okay. There, that's sent. It's Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Yes. 1 in 15 million planes have an issue or an accident. Okay, this is actually it's honestly really good. Here's why. Okay. And when they say like 1 in 15 million or 1 in 15 million flights, it's not planes, 15 million flights have an issue. Of those issues, even though it's a smaller, that's like a deadly issue, that's the crazy part about my alma mater is both the men's and women's basketball team have had deadly plane crashes in the last 20 years. Like, that's crazy. What the percentage chances are have to be so honestly, that's always been my thing and how I overcame my fear of flying after the plane crash, which I wasn't involved in, but it was my school the year after I left, which I was like, what are the percentage chances something happens to me after I lost 10 friends on a plane crash, right? Like, what are the chances? So if it's 1 in 15 million flights and we could make it 1 in 100 million flights, wouldn't you take the shot? If you know, of course you would.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Chris Broussard joins us, FS1 NBA analyst, Odd Couple host. Great show. It's called The Odd Couple. And first, I want to commend you on something you said, I think on Undisputed yesterday, which is like Ty Lue has been awesome. Like, really, really impressive. One, handling the disappointing starts to both these series and not freaking out, right? Like, he is, like, you almost want to do the let's put a mirror in front of his nose to make sure he's still alive. But two, the adjustments that he's made. But then you see the news today that Kawhi's out for the year, ain't winning a championship. Isn't it amazing on how all of that will be forgotten because Kawhi got hurt?
No, that's a great point. Because, I mean, let's face it, I think it's a certainty that they're going out in the second round, which is what they've always done, right, at best. And that's a great point because, I mean, look, if we want to be optimistic, if Ty Lue somehow just got them to the finals, he deserves an extension, you know. But, I think that's a great point. We're not going to remember it. And you're right. Without Kawhi, Doug, I was on Undisputed yesterday, and I said there was something. This was before we knew James Harden was coming back. And there was something inside of me. I didn't give the Nets much chance without Kyrie or Harden, but I didn't want to go 100%. I thought maybe Durant can just erupt or, you know, Blake can turn back the clock, whatever. But with the Clippers, there is nothing inside of me that tells me they can win this series. They're losing tonight, and maybe if they somehow can win game six, they're definitely losing game seven. But I think they're going down within the next two games, and it's just unfortunate. But, man, I've never seen a season like this, Doug, with these injuries. It is unbelievable.
Okay, LeBron just tweeted out that we didn't listen to him. All these injuries, 8, maybe 9 All-Stars. But then I'm like, all right, if we're real, you know, Joe Ingles fell into Kawhi Leonard. You know, sprained ankles are when you land on somebody's foot.
Right.
What I mean, how much of this do you think is because there was such a shortened offseason for some teams?
I think that that has to be some of it, I guess. But I just think in general, Doug, and to be honest, it's not just the NBA. Baseball, the NBA, mainly those two. I mean, football, obviously injuries are just part of that. But baseball and basketball, these injuries seem more and more commonplace. And I think it's several things. I think it's go down to the youth levels. These guys don't play any other sports. They only focus, you know, for the most part. There are a handful here and there. But for the most part, you're playing basketball year-round. You're playing baseball year-round. You're not working other muscles. And then once you get to the pros, they – when you remember when you and I were growing up, Doug, the NBA players would really take the offseason off. And then they would use training camp to get back into basketball shape. And I think your body needs that. I mean, with better nutrition, better flight travel, commercial, you know, not commercial flights, but charter ones, better weight training, better coach, like everything is better, better equipment, better shoes, and yet they're getting injured more than ever, it seems. I just think they need to give their body a break for a month or whatever in the offseason and just fully get away from the training. And I think my personal view is that that has something to do with it. And it's just ironic to me that as we've seen all these injuries, then we see a tweet that Damian Lillard or someone else is going to play for, you know, in Tokyo. And I'm just like, I think we need to stop the NBA. The NBA players playing in the Olympics, I'm over it. We've reestablished our supremacy in basketball. Let's either let the college guys or at least put an age limit, maybe 23 and under or 25 and under you can play in the Olympics. But I just think these guys need to give their bodies a break in the summer.
Okay. I mean, like, I think the part you nailed is it's not just one thing. It's a culmination of things, right? It's like,
right.
I mean, like Kyrie Irving didn't play much of last year because he sat out. So then he had the extra break because of the COVID. Then the bubble, he didn't play. Then he didn't play the whole season this year. Then he sprains his ankle. Like you can, and
right.
He's a guy
right.
That's been oft injured.
There's no way you
right.
Can say that's due to the short off season.
Right. So I mean, like that. you're just trying to make a narrative make sense. Okay, let's get to the Chris Paul thing. Do we know if Chris Paul has definitely been vaccinated?
Well, no, but they said he does have COVID. So, obviously, you hope he's been vaccinated. My goodness, because then he's really in trouble. But, no, I don't know that. If you don't mind, I want to ask you a question, especially as a guy that played point guard at a high level. I thought James Harden was a shell of himself, if even that, right? 1 for 10
right.
And 5 points. But, Doug, I thought his presence on the floor was very big for the Nets. I thought he was a ball handler, so Durant didn't need to handle it, but the fourth quarter. They let him do it in the fourth quarter, but for the first three quarters, it was primarily Harden. He made some great passes for backdoor layups to Joe Harris and Durant, and his presence out there for the defense, you got to pay attention to him. But mainly I thought his ball handling, like him running the offense and taking that pressure off Durant, I thought it was huge. Am I overstating that, or no. Do you agree?
No, because, and there's also the other element to it, which is, you know, you have to have what's called gravity in the NBA, right? They have to respect you. And you could sit there and go like, I don't think he could go by anybody last night, but I also don't want to be the guy that takes it for granted.
Right.
He didn't make it. He hadn't made a shot, but I don't want to be the guy guarding him that where he starts hitting two or three threes. So yeah, he has such respect around the league, you know, and respect from the other team that you, yes, absolutely. And he is a great passer. Absolutely. And adding one more passer and one more guy that can shoot never hurts.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think he's one of the few guys, Doug, he's one of the few guys I can think of that was an all-time elite scorer and playmaker. Like, he's a great point guard, I believe. He's one of the few we've seen at that all-time elite level at both of those skills.
Okay, are we ready to say that Kevin Durant's the best player in the league?
You know, I like to let it play out, but, I mean, yeah. I mean, if the dude, man, come on. I mean, just the minutes, the fact that he went 48, if we take LeBron out of it, I think Father Time's tapped him on the shoulder. He's still great, but I think he's tapped on the shoulder. Just the fact that Durant went all 48, that separates him from a few other guys in the discussion, Kawhi and Embiid, who will never do that. You can't count on them for that. And then his shooting ability separates him from Giannis, his free throw shooting ability from Luka and Giannis. And, I mean, the dude is phenomenal. I just think he has to do it a little more without – I mean – you know, usually he's always out there with a great cast, especially recently, in recent memory. But even in Oklahoma City. And here's a question, Doug, that I started thinking about today. Westbrook obviously is great in a certain way, right? You got to give him credit for what he's done individually, especially. But you do wonder, did he take away from Durant to some degree? Because Durant... with a really solid type of traditional point guard, you wonder would Durant have done way more with somebody that wasn't as volatile as Westbrook? And we'll never know. But
yeah, we'll never know. I think what made him want to leave Oklahoma City was if we watch the rest of the league, you got to have space for these guys, right? And if you go back, they had Steven Adams who. Like, you just couldn't hide him anywhere because he wasn't – you couldn't play him right in the dunker. He couldn't post up. He wasn't a pick-and-roll guy, you know. So they – and then they had Andre Robertson. So you had two guys that you didn't really have to guard. And then right. It's not like Russell Westbrook's a tremendous player, but he was a mid-range and go-to-the-rim scorer. So anytime you put the ball on the deck, there's two guys there at least guarding you.
Right.
Whereas, I mean, look at what the Nets – what the Warriors, you know, what they had around him was space. That's all he wanted, space.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I do think that he took away some from him. He helped him some because he took away some of the pressure off him, but he hurt him some because there was just another guy and that they could help off of and essentially double team Kevin Durant when he put the ball on the deck. Okay, so we don't know about Harden. We don't. Kyrie's not going to play. This next
right.
game, at least.
I'm assuming Harden's going to play.
Okay, so what do we think now? Let's look now at the East. Embiid's banged up, but playing. They're in a war with Atlanta. Who comes out of the East as of now?
I think the winner of the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series. Like, I think if Milwaukee wins this because Brooklyn's hurt or whatever, I think they're better than Philadelphia. I don't think Embiid's grown a little in this realm, but I still think there's some immaturity there. Even if it's just the fact that he may let a little pain, and I'm not just, you know, dismissing his injury. It is a legitimately torn meniscus, but obviously he can play through it. But it seems like mentally that's a struggle for him. Ben Simmons obviously still has his issues as far as just being in attack mode. And so I think Milwaukee beats Philadelphia or Atlanta, if Atlanta somehow wins that series. And Brooklyn, if they get past Milwaukee, I mean, if Harden can continue to play, then I think he's going to get better and better. And all they need are two of them. They need either, you know, only need Durant and one of the other stars, and they're the best team in the East. So I'm going to say Brooklyn comes out of the East.
Awesome stuff. Chris, I love your show, and I'm really appreciative of you joining me on mine. Thanks for being our guest on the Doug Gottlieb
Show. All right,
Show.
Doug. Thanks, brother.
That's Chris Broussard from The Odd Couple, which you can hear 4 to 7 West Coast, 7 to 10 East Coast here on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Is your dad's razor older than you are? Get him something new for Father's Day. A DSC six-blade razor is perfect for a national close precise shave. Get one now at a store near you as part of a gift set at dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Doug. Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now.
What does the Fox say?
Every day at this time of the Doug Gottlieb Show, we find something interesting previously on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports 1. Here's Skip Bayless on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
He's not what I call a superstar because he doesn't have superstar intangibles. There's no killer in him, no killer will. He's not sure of himself, and he's never been sure of himself under the brightest spotlight. Mm-hmm. When the heat is the hottest, he starts to melt right before your very eyes. He doesn't trust himself. It's why he took the Supermax to stay big fish, small market. But this is what you're going to get. Every year in the playoffs, he'll have a big round and a flameout round.
Yes.
Big and flameout. When he thinks he's got the advantage over some Orlando in the first round,
yeah,
look out, because he'll put up those numbers that he always puts up. All NBA was announced, and only one player in this league got all 100 votes for first team. That guy. We know that he's been multiple times MVP. We know he's been, as you point out, defensive player of the year. None of it matters because that's all about the regular season.
Yes.
That has absolutely zero to do with what you didn't see last night, which was he just shrinks and disappears.
There's a lot to it there, okay? So before I call out somebody and say he shrinks and disappears, here's what's amazing. Giannis last night was 14 of 22 from the field. He had 34 points, 4 assists, and 12 rebounds. Now, he didn't have any offensive rebounds. He was 4 of 7 from the line. We know that's an abject disaster. He's taking too long. He's not shooting a good percentage. He did make 2 of 4 threes. I love him shooting threes, but, like, you know, he did a lot. And part of the thing is, P.J. Tucker is great defensively, but he gives you nothing on offense, and yet Giannis gets all of the blame. So I think we've reached the point where we're like, okay, we know he doesn't have a middle game. He doesn't have really game in terms of mid-game and breaking dudes down, or he's not super comfortable shooting the basketball. Even when he makes it, like, eh. Despite that, he's incredibly effective. Incredibly effective at both ends. Are we okay saying that, you know, look, part of this is when you can't and don't trust your jump shot, it makes life hard. Then when you factor in you're playing 4-on-5 for 33 minutes of the game, that makes it hard. They also don't have Dante DiVincenzo, so it changes who they are. That makes it hard. He had a disappointing night in terms of wins and losses and down the stretch, but we're acting like he was a disaster, which he was not.
What does the Fox say?
U.S. Open week, plus all the news in the NBA, especially stuff that has changed the league. Next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.